being late. Don't, I made a mistake looking at the GPS last night, and it said 1 hour and 36 minutes. Well, that's a lie. And and Don, I was going to blame that one, but Don kind of said I can't do that. So. It's good to see all of you. One thing for sure, technology is depraved, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friends like Don and Tom, who needs enemies. Tom said this was good for me because I didn't have to study. Matthew chapter 15, please. Isn't it a beautiful day the Lord's given us today?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 15. The Bible says here in verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? I'm going to go on down through the text here in a minute, but let's just go ahead and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings and allow us to be here today and gather around your word. Thank you for every person that's made an effort to be in your house today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be here in power.
Amen.
And God, that you would help our hearts as Christians to draw closer to you, to renew our commitment to you.
Amen.
Lord, to be more like your Son. God, I pray if someone here today is lost, that the Holy Spirit would draw them and convict them and pierce their hearts with the Word of God.
Amen.
Do what man cannot do. We're a needy people. We need you today. Thank you for all your blessings. And God, how good you've been to us. Bless us and help us. God, have mercy on our nation. Be with its leaders. God, send revival. God, to each one of us and to each church here that's represented. God, we need you.
Amen.
Bless your word, I ask it, in the name of Jesus. And amen.
Amen.
The scribes and the Pharisees asking Jesus a question here. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? In other words, why don't you keep our traditions? And Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees that their traditions often transgress the Word of God, God's commandments. Just a few chapters over, Jesus said they were blind guides. And they strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. In other words, he said, you look good, but you're bad on the inside. I used to be a car guy. I still am a little bit. I like fast cars, hot rod cars. When I was a younger man, we would sometimes race cars. And there were cars that we would say they were all show and no go. That's what these Pharisees were.
Yeah.
They were all show and no go. They didn't have nothing on the inside.
Right.
Let me just give you a word of warning here. Be careful that your traditions don't supersede the Word of God.
Amen.
Verse 7, if you look at it, says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines," notice this, "the commandments of men." These folks were religious, but they were without God.
Amen.
They had traditions, but they didn't know the God of the Bible.
Right.
They were going through the motions. We have a lot of folks like that today, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of religious people in this country going through the motions. And they looked clean on the outside. To look at them, you'd say they were good people. But they didn't have anything on the inside.
Right.
They were filthy on the inside, according to Jesus. In verse 12, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "You know what? You made them fellas mad back there." That's my version. That's what they said. They said, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" They said, "You know, Jesus, you made those guys mad back there. I don't know. I think they were kind of telling him that probably wasn't a good idea." If you read on down verse 13, Jesus, he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Everything's going to come out in the end, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's all going to come out in the wash.
Yeah, sure.
"Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Mm-hmm. Jesus goes on to explain here in verse 15. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also without understanding?" Notice verse 17. "Do you not yet understand? Whatsoever enteth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Verse 19 says, notice this, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man." In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples, these men have put all the emphasis on the external.
Right.
They were more concerned about, you know, did you wash your hands? And I think you ought to wash your hands. I hope y'all that fix food every day wash your hands. I'm for washing your hands, don't get me wrong. But that don't have anything to do with what's in your heart, does it?
Amen.
It has nothing to do with what's in your heart. When we were younger, we were first married, we lived in Charlotte. And my wife went to work for the head Orthodox rabbi of Charlotte. He was the big dog. And he wouldn't like to be called a dog, would he? But anyway, he was the big man. Gentiles are dogs. I felt that sometimes when I talked to him. He let me know that I was a Gentile. But Evelyn went to work watching his children. And I went to work doing the man couldn't screw the switch plate on a light switch. I mean, he probably didn't know what a screwdriver was. I did his handyman stuff around his house and everything. But one day, I was before cell phones, Evelyn, when she got home, I think, had let me know. Or maybe she called me where I was working. And all upset, and she had washed a meat dish in the dairy sink or something to that effect. And they had to call a rabbi from New York to get that straightened out. Now, that's a true story. All external stuff. All external stuff. I want to give to you today the heart's description, the heart's depravity, the heart's defilement, and the heart's directives. Jeff taught me how to make an outline. good to see Brother Jeff. I love you, brother. I love Brother Tom Ross and Brother Stonker too. It's a privilege to preach with you gentlemen. In this passage, Jesus describes the heart, doesn't he? He tells us those things which defile a man. He tells us the source of the defilement.
Amen.
First of all, I want to talk about the heart's description. The heart of man, our Lord declares in these verses, is the true source of all sin and defilement.
That's the truth, brother. Amen.
It's a corrupt fountain, our heart is. There's an old hymn that says, "Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me."
Yes, sir.
And that's true. But I hate to report to you this morning that the heart is the exact opposite of that. It's a well of iniquity ever springing. Our fallen hearts are a fountain that's always putting forth bad. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That ought to put, even saved people, that ought to put a little fear in us about our own heart. Genesis 6:5, you know the story. Before the flood, the Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, it never stopped. Continual. I wonder when God looks at our world today. In my lifetime, I've seen things sink. We're not living in the days of Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, are we?
Yeah.
We're living in a whole different world.
We are.
It's scary in a way. But I know the Lord's coming back, and that's a hope, and that's a blessed hope. But this is why our heart is the den of iniquity. It's the den of iniquity. It's the home to wickedness. It's the home to darkness. If it wasn't for the restraint of God and the grace of God, who knows what we would all be capable of.
That's right.
So Jesus here tells us about our heart. He describes it. Then secondly, we see the heart's depravity. Jesus is not describing here. When he goes through this list of things and talks about the heart, he's not describing a thief or a murderer or a robber. He is, but to tell you the truth, he's describing the most religious people in the world at the time. Isn't that something? It's the condition, though, of all mankind.
Amen.
He's describing. Psalm 14, and this is, of course, you'll recognize it's repeated elsewhere in the Bible, in the book of Romans, but the Bible says in Psalm 14, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside." A-double-L. They are all gone aside.
Amen.
"They are all together become filthy."
Amen.
"There is none that doeth good." No. Just in case you were wondering. No, not one.
Right. Amen.
This is the verdict of God Almighty on humankind. And God doesn't exaggerate.
Amen. Amen.
When Jesus describes men's heart, the Bible says that he knew what was in man. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." There's not a just man on the earth. Matthew Henry said, "There is no sin in a word or deed which was not first in the heart." I believe that. I believe that a murder starts in the heart. I believe that fornication starts in the heart. I believe that adultery starts in the heart. I believe that thievery starts in the heart. Everything has a beginning. There's very few, and I guess there is such a thing as a crime of passion, but that anger started in the heart. It's all in the heart. The Bible says we're depraved. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're physically alive, and we're intellectually alive, but we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead. The Bible describes our hearts as being blind. The Bible describes our hearts as being hard. Because of, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, because of our hearts, the depraved heart that we have, we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had, H-A-D, that's past tense, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, our fallen human nature, our depraved hearts. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I can't read on, but fortunately it says, but God. our hearts are depraved. Amen. Jesus tells us that. He gives us a description. He gives us the depravity. Then He gives us the heart's defilement. The Pharisees taught that everybody that observed their traditions was in good shape. You went by their rules, you's all right. But if you neglected their rules, you were a dirty, no good, publican or sinner. You neglected their rules, I've met some folks like that, I guess. But Jesus put the skids on that teaching, didn't he? He did. He called them, if you look at verse 7, he said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy you. He called them hypocrites. When Jesus walked the earth, they hadn't wrote that book yet, How to Win Friends and Influence People. he hadn't learned how to build a church yet. They hadn't wrote all these books, to help us. Joe Osteen wasn't around, and Rick Warren, they weren't there. He just told it like it was, didn't he?
Amen.
The real problem is not external. The real problem is not you washing your hands. The real problem is your heart. That's what he said. He didn't speak in generalities either, Some folks today, they say, I think you better preach on sin, but they never say what sin is.
That's right.
They stand up and say, hey, don't y'all sin. Yeah. Kind of general, If you'll notice, Jesus, though, he got down in the nitty-gritty here. He gave a plain-spoken list of what was in man's heart. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. A lot of sins never go any farther than that right there, but that's still sin.
That's right. Amen.
There's a lot of folks who don't sin a lot outwardly, but they've got it in their heart. He says murders. Now, I doubt these Pharisees were known, as being murderers, even though they actually were. But Jesus said, he that hates his brother is a murderer in his heart. And that's a sin against the sixth commandment. Jesus said adulteries and fornication, sexual sins. You know, we're living in a day where just sexual sins is unbelievable. It's overlooked. We have people going to Baptist churches shacking up. I don't know if you keep up with the news, but there's a very big push right now, especially in Reformed circles, and I'm not Reformed, by the way, but especially in Reformed circles, there's a big push to excuse homosexuality. I'm not kidding you. It's bad. It is really bad. I'm talking about big-name preachers. If I told you your names, you probably heard some of them that are making way for this thing. It's unbelievable. Sexual sins begin in the heart, though.
Amen.
And some are never acted upon, but it's still sin.
That's right.
And these sins show us our heart, don't they? Sins against the seventh commandment, adultery and fornication, sexual sins. It's rampant. Bad. It's bad. And if you don't accept that, then you're considered an oddball and a crank or something. He says thefts. Notice this, verse 19. Out of their heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. There's a lot of crooked dealings going on, isn't there? A lot of crooked dealings. There's a lot of covetousness going on. People are not satisfied. Contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. Brother Tom and I have bantered back and forth a few times on Facebook, and we've both read these books by these Puritans on contentment. It's enough to make you wonder if you even saved or not. When you read how those old fellows wrote about being content. This world is geared to make you want more, isn't it?
Yes.
More and more and more thinking, and you in your heart, your depraved natural state. I mean, we still got the old man, don't we?
Amen,
there's something in that old man that thinks something that these things are going to make us happy. Mm-hmm. But things don't make you happy, Brother Bruce. You know that. They don't make you happy.
Right.
You get the newest thing, and next thing you know, you want the next newest thing.
Yeah.
You know. My kids, they get aggravated with me. I'll get a laptop and keep it 4 or 5 years. And it'll have a little something going wrong with it. And the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, you need a new one. This thing's 3 years old, Dad. You know, they get a new phone every year. That's only $800. My dad used to tell me, I asked him one time, I said, I'd like to have a pair of these tennis shoes. They cost $50. My dad said, I bought cars for less than that. But we always want something.
Amen.
You know, the world just drives us that way. Amen. In our flesh.
Amen.
A false witness, Jesus said false witnesses. There's a lot of liars out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, we're getting ready to gear up into the political season. There's a lot of liars out there. Lies begin in the heart, don't they?
Right.
I was talking to a fellow yesterday. We were talking about how some people just lie. They can't seem to help it. You ever been around somebody like that? I used to tell them. I worked with a fellow. I said he'd rather climb up a tree than tell you a lie than to stand on the ground and tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in them that just makes them want to lie, you know. And I listen, I'm a liar. I'm a sinner. By the grace of God, I'm trying my best not to lie. There's something in me there's someone in me that condemns me.
Amen.
But there's some people have a propensity to stretch the truth a little bit, don't they?
Yeah.
It begins in the heart, doesn't it?
Amen.
These lies. And we were talking, me and this fella, and he said, some people lie so much, he said, I think they believe their own lies. I think that's true. He says blasphemies. We're living in a blasphemous age.
Oh, yeah.
nothing sacred.
Yeah.
Verse 19 says, false witness, blasphemies, evil speaking, or I looked that word up. It means evil speaking or railing against God. And I, to be honest with you, I thought to myself when I looked that up, I thought, what if that includes hard thoughts against God? Because sometimes as Christians, we think hard thoughts against God. Let me give you an illustration. Sometimes when bad things happen, we say, God, why'd you let this happen to me? I don't deserve this. Or we'll say, God must not love me because he let this happen to me. Or he must not care about me because he let this happen to me. Those are hard thoughts against God. They're not true. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
I don't know about you folks, but that's the biggest joy I have, is knowing that God's in control and he knows what he's doing. There's nothing else I'm much sure about except I know he's in control and he knows what he's doing. This world's out of control. Sometimes my life's out of control. Sometimes my children are out of control. Sometimes lots of things are out of control, but he's in control.
Amen.
As one fellow I heard say one time, he's ruling the entire universe. It's not even strained.
Amen.
He's not even... It's nothing. So, you know, we ought to just enjoy the trip, hadn't we?
Amen.
Verse 20, Jesus said, these, he gives a list of them. There's no ambiguity about it, is there? He said, these are the things. These are the things which defile a man. But teeth with unwashing hands, that's not the problem. The heart's defilement. Fourthly, the heart's directives. You know, God directs us. He tells us we need a new heart.
Yeah.
We need a new heart. Jesus said a man must be born again.
Amen.
He has to have the new birth.
Yes,
a right heart is a heart that's been renewed by the Spirit of God. A right heart is a new heart. You got to have a heart. My wife got sick. How long ago has that been? 22 years? 21 years? 21 years. My wife got sick and we ended up going to the hospital in Richmond, Virginia. And it was a transplant center and they talked about doing a heart transplant. And fortunately, by the grace of God, she got better and we didn't have to do that. I still think she needs a new heart. But anyway, I'm just kidding. She got better, and the Lord's blessed us so much. And we've, you know, raised our kids.
Amen.
I come home that night and got down on my knees, her in Virginia, me in Charleston. Got down on my knees and just wept and told God whatever he did was all right. With a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And three little kids. I didn't know what we was facing, but God's been good to us. And I have no complaints. But they were going to do looking at doing a heart transplant, but fortunately her heart strength come back up to where she didn't have to do that. But you know what? You need a new heart. You need a new heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The reason they become new is you've got a new heart. You've got a new man, the Bible says.
Right.
There's somebody in there that's pulling the switches.
Amen.
He's right. He's directing you. A new heart walks in newness of life, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. We're to walk in newness of life. A new heart has new desires, doesn't it? And I don't want to get on the other fellow's sermons and I got to quit.
Go ahead, stop.
let me just give you an illustration here. There's a couple women. There's a couple ladies sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee one day. This teenage boy come down the steps, and his hair was all combed, and he was dressed to the nines, had his teeth brushed, and he looked really good. And that one woman said, "Boy, your son really looks nice today." And the other woman, in a disgusted tone, said, "A set of blue eyes and some blonde hair did in one day what I couldn't do in 16 years." You know, God does, He changes us, doesn't He? He gives us a new love. He changes our direction. It's not a pain for me to live for God. I want to live for God. It pains me when I don't. When I fail Him, it bothers me. Let me remind you here that even after we're born again, we're directed to keep our hearts with all diligence. In other words, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're out of the range that the devil can't shoot at you. It's a fight to the end. And we're weak. Maybe you're strong, but we're weak. I'm weak. How's that? I'm weak. The heart's still deceitful, isn't it? We still battle against this old man. And you know, people are always blaming the devil, but I think our chief danger probably is our heart. The devil's busy, that's true. But I think we've got enough. I've got our hands full here. Amen. In our own heart. Amen. Proverbs 21 says, "A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." Yeah. Right. Be careful about pride. I'm talking to myself here. Pride is a bad thing.
It sure is.
But you better stay low.
Yeah, brother, that's right. Amen.
If it wasn't for God, I don't know where I'd be.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And that goes for today and it goes for tomorrow.
Yes, it does.
Those Pharisees were filled to the brim with pride, wasn't they? They were filled to the brim with it. And then let me say this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's a strong statement, isn't it? You know, Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Let me tell you something, folks, you better trust in this right here.
Amen.
Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will misdirect you. This Bible's always right. This Bible will be right a million years from now.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Your heart will make excuses. Your heart will explain things away. It'll rationalize sin.
Yep.
It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, like I said. As Solomon said, don't trust it. Let me ask you, in closing my sermon, have you ever seen yourself as a depraved, hell-deserving sinner?
Yes.
That's what we are.
Yes, we are.
That's what we are. We're depraved, hell-deserving sinners. There's a lot of folks, I hope you're not one of them, that are clean on the outside, but they're filthy on the inside. Has God given you a new heart today? We sometimes sing an old hymn that says, "What a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Has He come into your heart today? Thank you, Brother Bean, for having me. I apologize again for being late. And I'm glad to be here with you. Thank you, Brother.